Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
I'm sorry to our next guest if I made you sound ancient in the discussions there, Bren.
I am.
But I actually got a message from a friend that says the Revelino song they played at the top of the show has catapulted them back to a happy place and are asking where they can get Revelino music these days and can you reunite for a nostalgic tour? Well, we'll get into the conversation.
Yeah.
But my next guest, to tell people what's going on, has released the debut solo album at the age of 61. And Bren Berry spent his whole life around music. You were in Revelino, very cool in the 90s, detoured into life as a promoter with Aiken Promotions for years and years, working with all the big stars, and now you've picked up that old guitar again and you've got your own songs. Bren, welcome.
Thank you, Oliver. Thanks for having me on. Nice.
Congratulations
to see you.
On the new album.
Thanks, Oliver. It's been an amazing week.
Good reviews.
I launched it this day last week in Vicar Street in conversation with Tommy Tiernan, and we had a wonderful evening and released it on Friday, and it's been brilliant. Apparently, I'm number 3 in the independent charts, miles behind the Fontaines, but neck and neck with the Arctic Monkeys.
Really? Well, that's really good. Yeah. Start with that one.
Those two small bands.
And Vicar Street with Tommy Tiernan, so all bits of your life all coming
together.
Yeah,
we had a lovely chat. Yeah, fair play to Tommy. I mean, he's become a great friend of mine, obviously. And, you know, he's going to be doing his 400th night in Vicar Street soon.
Oh, so that's mad.
Yeah, we had a lovely night, yeah.
Does that night not count then?
Well, it does. As his favourite night.
Okay. Hey, take us all back then into the 90s. You're a young fella. How did you get into music? Probably the late 80s, is it, when you're suddenly...
Yeah, well, kind of fell into it, really. I bought my first guitar when I was about 20. I was working in Irish Life Insurance Company then from when I left school for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then I decided I wanted to save the world and become a social worker. And I went to UCD for 4 years.
Very good.
And in the middle of that, which shocked my parents, the idea of me giving up a really good pensionable job in recession hammered Ireland.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. They were not happy about it.
And home is in Dublin.
Home. Yeah. Yeah. Churchtown.
Churchtown.
You know, I was born and raised in Ringsend for 5 years, where my dad was from. And a great story. My dad just told me real quick recently, he bought his first house in Ringsend for £400.
God.
And he only had £100. And he couldn't get a mortgage. He was refused 3 times because I had no roof and no electricity. So my grandfather...
Is your dad 150?
So my grandfather took him to my great-grandfather, who had his life savings wrapped up in the flat in newspaper and twine. And he gave my dad his life savings to pay for the house in Ringsend, yeah.
Wow.
Where I lived for 5 years,
But then it became Churchtown.
Yeah, grew up in Churchtown, which I loved. Yeah, absolutely. And so I met Brendan Tallon, and he rang 1986. I was sitting at home doing an essay, and I knew he was playing a gig that night, and he asked me to play with him in an hour's time. So I ran over to his house, and he had a bass player and a drummer, and we did our first gig that night, and my tiny mind was blown, and
you were hooked.
I got diverted from the social work to being in a band. But I've been a concert promoter for 27 years now, which is social work, but by a lot of definitions.
It's really good. So you gave up the course and everything and the job. So I mean,
no, I finished the course.
Oh, did you?
The day I finished my degree on my 25th birthday, the other 3 lads gave up their jobs, and we went full time. We were full time on the dole for 10 years till 1998. When we were giving up the ghost, really, it was obvious to us that it wasn't going to happen. So,
what was the height of Revelino's success? What were the good days?
The good days, I suppose, headlining the Tivoli was as good as it got for us, really, you know. In those days, it was, you know, when I think back, like, the business is so big now, the amount of people going to gigs compared to the amount of gigs that are on and the amount of people going to gigs compared to those days, it's like, it's chalk and cheese. It's massive.
It's huge now?
Yeah, huge now. Absolutely, yeah.
The impression that there were gigs going on all over the place.
Sure. I mean, for example, Vicar Street didn't exist, you know, and you know.
Now the Tivoli doesn't exist.
And now the Tivoli doesn't exist. Yeah, sadly. And well, sadly, part of the demise of Dublin in so many ways, so many venues and so many cultural institutions being knocked down, which my song This City addresses. I wrote it after a Save the Cobblestone march.
You know, there was good success with Revelino and opening for acts and so on, but when did you kind of notice this is not going to be a livelihood?
I came back from America in 96. We had a few gigs in New York and I was deeply frustrated with the whole thing. And I decided to, I had been living off my girlfriend, now wife, really.
Hey, and she's a patron of the arts.
She still is a patron of the arts. And I started working on Brooksell. I decided I needed to start working a bit. You know, I'd been...
Brooksells, where all the Brooksells, musicians hang out.
Yeah. I knew Dave Egan there and he gave me a job and I worked part-time there. And so about a year later, Peter Aiken, I played football with Peter for Hot Press, Mönchengladbach, and he was a great supporter of our band. He gave us some great gigs, including supporting Neil Young and the RDS. And he showed me the plans for Vicar Street one day when we were going to a football match. And then an agent rang me soon afterwards to offer me a gig at Vicar Street. And I said no, because it was just too big for where we were at and it wouldn't have been of any benefit to anyone. So Peter rang me up. The phone box in the hall of our flat rang. I went out and Peter asked me what I was doing and I was doing nothing. And he asked me to meet him in Vicar Street and I went up, expecting him to ask me to do a gig in Vicar Street, but he gave me a hard hat and a tour of a building site and took me for a cup of tea and stuck a job description in front of me. And that was it.
You're going to promote this place and get the gigs?
Asked me to come and work on the other side of the fence. So that was nearly 27 years ago.
He was probably brutally honest with you about the prospects of the band.
He just said, I'm a big fan, but it strikes me that you're probably on your last legs, which I said, yeah, we feel that ourselves. Yeah, we were consciously making our final album.
And this is, Vicar Street, I thought, was around much longer. This is late 90s, 98?
30th of August, 1998 was the night we opened, yeah.
And what was there? What was there before the venue?
I'm not 100% sure. A variety of things, really, you know.
It was a sight.
But I mean, it's such an incredible venue. I mean, my mother's from the Liberties, so for me, that just adds to the meaning of Vicar Street for me. So my mother was from the Ivy Buildings, and so for me, I spent so much time with my grandparents and my aunt in the Ivy Buildings every weekend. And so, you know, the Liberties is a second home for me all my life.
Wow. The reason I think it feels like it should be older, Vicar Street, is because it's such a storied and revered venue.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
We just, you know, we struggled to get going to find our legs initially.
Right?
You know, we really did. But I mean, it's the first thing is Harry has built a brilliant venue. There's no doubt about that. And the second thing is
Harry Crosby
has. Really, it's a fantastic venue. And Peter Aiken has always made sure that it's staffed by really good people. I think most people would say you really feel welcome the minute you arrive at Vicar Street. We're always getting complimentary letters about our doormen, about how friendly they are and how much fun they are, you know. So you're made to feel very welcome, and our crew are top of the bus, and, you know, the sound in the venue is just incredible. So it's been 27 amazing years, thousands of gigs. It's all a blur. It's all a blur.
No idea how many nights you've spent.
I have no idea. I just know too many.
I suppose it's become connected with a lot of, like, it's almost like a residence for Tommy, as you mentioned. He's coming up at some stage this year. It'll be 400 shows.
Not so much maybe this year. He's just done his last night on this tour in Vicar Street.
The tours are end to end, though, aren't they?
End to end. It's like Bob Dylan. The never-ending tour, yeah, exactly, yeah, it is, really.
You've been there every step of the way in Tommy's...
Yeah, I promote Tommy all over Ireland, and I keep meaning to sit down and try and have a look at how many shows we've actually done since we started working together. It's a phenomenal amount, especially in those years when we were doing a world tour of every county. I mean, we did two or three tours of Ireland.
Yeah, because everywhere with a roof has had Tommy Tiernan.
Yeah, we did a minimum of four shows per county. That was the rule. Let's do a minimum of four, and as many, I think Cork, we might have done 16 different venues on one of those tours. Yeah,
it's extraordinary. That makes his Vicar Street record kind of unbelievable because of the amount of shows he's done everywhere else.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's incredible.
Damien Dempsey's heavily associated as well. He does his
Christmas
shows.
Yeah, the Christmas
shows
gigs with Damien are really phenomenal. It's mass for a lot of people. I mean, Damien, he's just such a beautiful person, Damien. He's such an incredible artist. he's really important artist. He speaks truth to power, and it's really important to have people like that around these days.
Yeah, he's fearless, isn't he? Isn't
he? Really is fearless. Yeah, and he's beautiful too, and he's gas crack. He's got it all, you know.
Christy Moore, we had in here a few weeks ago. Yeah, he was setting off to do his Vicar Street run, which was one every week here and there.
Just working with Christy Moore, such a privilege. I mean, when I bought my first guitar, I bought the Christy Moore songbook, and I've been a massive fan all my life. And to have worked so closely with him over the years has been an amazing privilege for me. He's such an amazing artist, such a wonderful man. Again, speaks truth to power. His voice is better than ever. He's incredible. Yeah. He's 80 this year.
And the youngsters are coming in.
His voice is amazing. And lots of young people coming to see him. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's an absolute legend.
He's finished his Vicar Street run, but he's around the country now, I think.
He's around the country now, yeah. We've just done 12 nights. We did one gig every week for 12 weeks there in Vicar Street, yeah.
You had to mind people or get involved when in the huge shows as well. What is the job of a promoter? What exactly do you do when someone like Bruce Springsteen comes to town?
Oh, well, I mean, like Bruce Springsteen's obviously Peter Agin's client, you know. I mean, my job's to stay out of the way. but it's, there's so many variables. It's a very stressful job, Oliver, to be honest. I mean, a lot of people in the industry, we joke that it beats working in this industry, but it's tough work. I mean, I was getting the taxi into work the other day, and when the taxi man heard I was working in show business, he said, "Oh, so you work 6 days a week and every Sunday," which I thought was a great line. I never heard, apparently, from a Skid Row song from 1971, as I found out.
6 days a week and Sunday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's hard. What's the difficulty with it? It's
the long hours. In my own kind of constant nervous kind of constitution, you're always troubleshooting. My nature sometimes is to be looking out for what's going wrong rather than celebrating what's going right, you know? So, you know, I really take pride in doing a good job on behalf of the artists first and foremost and the audiences, you know. I just take my job very seriously. I want things to go well.
You did appear on stage with Ed Sheeran on one stage. In fact, I saw it with my own eyes.
The only time I've been on stage in the last 20 years was the final night of Ed's. It's still the biggest tour in Irish history. It was the final night in the Phoenix Park, and I was walking him on stage. And he said to me, "Come up on stage when Bjoga are joining me. Just grab something, grab an instrument and come up." And I was like, "Oh," he said, "yeah." So I just went to his guitar tech and borrowed one of Ed's Loudon guitars and stepped up on stage and mimed away. I wasn't plugged in, obviously. No, of course not. But it was funny.
How much did that guitar set you back, I wonder?
I know, yeah. Well, more than I can afford. So.
And how did he know you played guitar?
Well, he knows all about my band, you know. I mean, he's such a great guy, Ed. I mean, he's so supportive of other musicians, you know. And he's very well aware of what goes on here in Ireland, you know. He loves it here, and
Do you get up close and personal with these stars when they arrive? And
with some of them, yeah. I mean, I kind of pride myself on having a personal relationship with a lot of the artists I work with, particularly the Irish artists. I mean, for us in Vicar Street, the most important people that come through our doors are the Irish artists. I mean, we've had the biggest artists in the world, but for me, it's working with Irish artists. And I mean, I think Irish music and Irish comedy at the moment is the best it's ever been. The quality of work is just incredible.
And exploding with the number of gigs and
exploding,
like the time tours.
Absolutely, but exploding on the go on all over the world as well. It's brilliant.
Well, it's a post-COVID thing, is it? The comedy explosion.
I mean, the communal experience, when we all came out of that lockdown, I mean, there's just this heightened appreciation of the communal experience that works both ways, from the artist out to the audience and from the audience back to the artist. There's just that heightened appreciation of having been locked up for a year and a half. You know, everybody just loves that communal experience. It's vital.
And how incredibly successful various podcasts came and they drive.
Podcasts, yeah. The thing was that during COVID, comedy and podcasts really thrived. You know, I think that live music streams did not work for people. And for me, what struck me was that comedians and podcasters, really, we were all stuck at home and we had our devices and we really tuned in on it. And I think podcasters and comedians really figured out how to use social media very well,
right,
as well.
Yeah.
And the audience is
5 years on. It's
5 years
going
on.
Strong.
It's you know, comedy, and podcasting are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
And there's more messages coming in, nostalgic. Had to send a big shout out to Bren. I was in college in the 90s and saw Revelino many times. Fond memories of them and the great Blink sound lads, all of them. Because, of course, you supported quite a lot of acts that came to Ireland, Revelino.
Yeah. We supported Bob Dylan. We supported Neil Young. You know, we supported, two of the bands that were...
two of the grumpiest people. Neil Young and Bob Dylan. Wow.
Well, actually, Neil Young is a very, very friendly person. I find him very...
Bob, he's feisty.
I revere Bob and I have never met Bob Dylan. I've always stayed back in the background from him.
You played support.
But we played support to him in Kilkenny.
What was that gig? I think I was at that gig. Is it
that
2001?
Was in Nolan Park in 2001. Yes. Yeah, it was just after my...
Ronnie Wood came on stage, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I'll never forget because it was a massive heater, which you see my uncle used to dry paint on cars, and it was on stage for Bob Dylan.
Really?
And it was July in Ireland, but it was freezing for him. So
right.
You would dare not approach...
No, I wouldn't. No, you know, I'm a massive Bob Dylan fan and I know that it's not my place to say hello to him. You know, I think Bob is more interested in talking to like a mechanic backstage or somebody like that.
Is that serious?
He's his own man, you know, and I would respect the fact that it's not my place to say. He's Peter Aiken's client anyway. I mean, you know, Jim Aiken would have worked with Bob for a long time.
Peter's dad, yes.
Peter's dad, Gentleman Jim, was a giant, a brilliant man.
That's how it works. The head of the company is the direct client.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, I'm not sure when Jim did his first show in 1959, started the company.
Oh, wow.
And obviously worked with Bob. I'm assuming he worked with Bob from the 60s, or if not the 60s, certainly the 70s. And Jim was just... He gave me one of the best bits of life advice anyone ever gave me. Jim Aiken said, don't be afraid to make mistakes at a particular time. He assured me that I would never make as big a mistake as some of the mistakes he'd made in the business, because it's such a high risk business, our game is, yeah.
And because he needed to, he was on the way up, I suppose, and it was developing the business.
Yeah.
Come here, this niggled away at you, didn't it, for years, having given up the guitars.
Yeah.
And you wanted to get back into it, and so you did.
I've always doodled, Oliver, but I could never write a full song. I could never do it. I've always had little sparks, and I have notebooks and notebooks of rubbish. And 3.5 years ago, myself and my great friend Ciarán Tallon were in my house. We'd had a few bevies too many, and he asked me to play him some of my little recordings at home, and he really liked them and encouraged me to finish one and that he would record it. He'd figured out how to use Logic.
That's what
at
you
home.
Did.
So I took up the challenge, and I couldn't crack the code. And on Bob Dylan's 80th, I said, if I hear another person murder a Bob Dylan song today, I'll go nuts. Said, the last thing the world wants is for me to do a Bob Dylan song. So I'll honour the occasion by trying to crack the songwriting code.
Do your own.
Writing the song, and something magical happened for me, yeah.
Do you still have the guitar you had? You bought at 20?
I do, actually. Oh. I actually just got it fixed the other day. Tommy's tour manager, Darren, has a music shop down in Tullamore, and he took it for me and he fixed it up, and it's in brilliant nick, actually.
The business is full of musical nerds.
Musical nerds, yeah, absolutely.
Fixed the guitar at 20. That's lovely to have.
Yeah, no, it is actually. Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds great.
What's the name of the album and what can people expect in the sound?
So the album's called In Hope Our Stars Align. It's a big cinematic must-have.
He's a promoter for sure.
Must buy album available in all good record shops.
I'm going to play a little bit of, is it Of Knives is what's on my screen?
Knives, Heavy Metal Rain, yeah.
And we'll have a chat for about the sound. We'll play about a minute of it.
Yeah.
Knives. I was asking the lads here, Bren, what they thought it sounded like. Indie alternative was one description.
Yeah, they're terrible words though, aren't they, really? Indie alternative.
Touch
alternative
emo.
To what?
No. I suppose it means pop is an alternative to pop rock or doing your own thing.
Yeah, it's rock and roll music, you know.
Well, the album is out. Are you going to tour? Are you going to perform live?
I think I'm going to try, Oliver. I had absolutely no intention. I mean, writing my first song was a magical moment and a gift enough for me. And writing the whole album was brilliant and recording it. And I actually had no interest in playing. And the game, I gave myself away. Tommy Tiernan was playing the Hammersmith Apollo last year and I went over to it, and we went down to the venue together, and he walked on stage, and he was sound checking. I was standing beside him, and in my head I was going, give me that mic right now. So the game was up. Up to that point, my ego exploded on the stage of the Hammersmith Apollo.
Because I gather when reviews are on their way, you take them seriously.
I was so nervous about that. But, you know, I sang on stage on Vicar Street for the first time publicly last Thursday night when myself and Tommy were chatting for the release party. And that was the first time I sang one of my songs on stage. And it was a really amazing moment. I got a lovely reaction for it and lots of encouragement. So I am going to get into a rehearsal studio. The Talons from Revelino are going to play guitar with me. And I have a few other friends.
That's close to a Revelino reunion where we started our conversation.
But it's my band this time, Oliver. Yeah, okay. I'm going to be insufferable.
Hot Press described it as majestic. Said it reminded them of Leonard Cohen and R.E.M. and they gave it 8 out of 10.
Yes, delighted with that. And Arena gave me a wonderful review as well last week. They gave me a strong 4-star review, which I was delighted with.
They
were very kind and generous.
Fussy.
They can be, yeah.
They don't give the
but they know a good record when they hear
that's
one.
That's for sure. In Hope Our Stars Align is the name of the album. It's out now. Someone says, one of the best gigs I ever saw was Revelino in the Tivoli on Francis Street. An unbelievable gig. Wishing Bren the best of luck with the new album. We worked together on Rent, the musical, back in the day.
That was hilarious. I actually helped Laura Williams with the rehearsals for that. Laura Williams asked me, we used to rehearse in the factory, and Laura asked me if I would help her just organise the people in the queue outside to come in for the auditions. And then she asked me, did I know anyone who had a camera, could film it? And I said, I have a camcorder at home, I'll do it. So I came in the next day with a camcorder and I gaffer taped it to a mic stand and I filmed the Rent the Musical auditions, which was
cinematographer.
One of the funnest. It would make an incredible sitcom. It would make an incredible sitcom.
More messages for you. Delighted for Bren. The music is great. The man is a gentleman. Congratulations on your success. That's Col Patterson, I think. Bren Berry is one of the best. You like this one. So great to hear him on the radio chatting about his own music. He helped so many other musicians get gigs over the years. Go on, Bren, says Esna.
Thank
and
you.
There are more. They go on and on. But like you're too egotistical now. We can't get rid of more. Debut album for Bren Berry, In Hope, Our Stars Align. Thanks a million for coming in for the chat.
Thank you, Oliver. Lovely to be on the show. Bye.